For the Bible has the answers to your problem, to my problem, and the Bible has the problem, the answers to the problems facing America today.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. A message you will be hearing this evening was delivered by Pastor Brian Grant on the eve of July 4th, 2022. The following day, the nation's holiday celebration was interrupted by a fusillade of murder and mayhem on the streets of Highland Park, Illinois. Immediately, the angry debate renewed. What does it mean to be free? What is our hard-won American liberty all about? This evening, Pastor Grant will share a message from God's Word, the Bible, that provides keys to finding true freedom. Listen with us now as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message, How Can I Find True Freedom?
Patrick Henry was one of America's founding fathers and the first governor of Virginia. He was one of America's great orators. I think many of you remember that name, Patrick Henry. And in 1775, during a meeting with a deeply divided group of political leaders, Patrick Henry rose to his feet and uttered these words that have resonated through the halls of history. Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? I know not what course others may take, Patrick Henry said, but as for me, help me somebody, as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Patrick Henry wanted freedom, something that is so central to our American way of life that it's enshrined in the Constitution, in the Bill of Rights. In fact, even our national anthem calls America the land of the free and the home of the brave. But despite our focus on freedom, as we celebrate America's 246th year of independence, the truth is that many Americans still have not discovered what true freedom is. You know, a six-year-old boy was having fun playing in the family room, and he didn't realize that his mom had come into the room behind him. And so when his mother told him it was time to stop playing and to put away all the stuff, he assumed it was his older sister, and so he responded, I don't have to listen to you. I can do whatever I want. As he turned around, he realized he had made a big mistake. This was not his sister. This was his mother. And so he started praying, Jesus, help me! Help me, Jesus! His mom grabbed a belt and responded, Jesus is about to help you! And he has chosen me as his instrument! Like that little boy, many Americans believe that freedom means we can do whatever we want to do. But that ain't true at all. That's not true freedom. And this morning I want to talk with you on the subject, how can I find true freedom? Because we may think we are, you know, not every Christian has found true freedom. Oh, we'll find that out in a minute. This is the third message I'm delivering in a series on Christian apologetics that I've entitled Answers to Some of Today's Tough Questions. Last time we answered the question, is the Bible really reliable? And presented, I believe, unequivocal evidence that the Bible is inspired by God and is therefore reliable. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad God gave us the Bible. Amen. Listen, put this in your notes. The Bible is inspired. The Bible is inspired. It's God-breathed. God was the author of the Bible. I don't have time to develop it, but oh, I hope if you missed that last message, you'll go back on YouTube and you'll watch it, or our Facebook page, and watch that message that we delivered. Is the Bible really reliable? I believe every Christian needs to make sure they get a grasp of that so we can defend the authority of the Bible. Amen. The Bible is inspired. It is God-breathed. Second, the Bible is infallible. It's incapable of failing. It's always effective and is permanently binding. Listen, there never will come a time when what God has to say does not apply. Oh, I wish somebody would be listening to me in our country today. By the way, I'm not going to go into some of the stuff that's going on in our world today, because as I was preparing this message, I decided to add two more messages to the series. The series is growing, okay? And so I realized we have to add a message that has to do with this issue about what rights does a woman really have? I do believe we need to talk about this and see what God has to say. And you don't know what I'm going to say, so don't assume you know what I'm going to say. Just pray that I'll say what God wants me to say. Amen? The Bible is infallible. So if we're dealing with this subject, we better make sure we check the infallible Word of God. The Word that this message that has authority. It's always effective. It's permanently binding. So what have we said about the Bible? It's inspired, it's infallible, and it's inerrant. It's without error. The Bible is totally truthful, and it is always reliable. Oh, young person, older person, I hope you get this. Since this Bible is inspired, infallible, and inerrant, we had better pay some attention to it. Amen? Young person, this is the most amazing book on the planet, for it is God's holy word. And I'm going to encourage all of you, listen, you may not be my child, but I see my children and grandchildren here, and I want to make sure my grandchildren are hearing me good, loud, and clear. You had better make sure you make this Bible central to your life. I'm speaking to other people's children and adults. Some of us take this book for granted, but this is the most important book on the planet. You know, we have time for all this other stuff. Well, I don't have time to read the Bible. Give me a break. You got time for every other book. This is the most important book on the planet. Take time to read it, amen. Take time to read it. The one person said, the Bible will either keep you from sin or sin will keep you from the Bible. Take time to read it. You know, Ronald Reagan might not be your favorite person, and I doesn't really matter, because what he said on the 21st of February 1985 is very significant. Because on that day, President Ronald Reagan, speaking at a news conference, said something that American presidents rarely say. He said that he had discovered, and by the way, this might surprise you that Reagan said this, but if you visit the presidential library, we had the privilege of visiting his library in California, you would be amazed how much Reagan read the Bible. You'd be amazed how many handwritten notes Reagan sent to people with Bible references. That was a surprise to me. But here's what Reagan said at a news conference. He said he had discovered that the Bible contains answers to just about every problem that confronts us. He went on to say, I wonder sometimes why we refuse to recognize that this book could solve our problems. Can you imagine that the President of the United States said that? I wonder sometimes why we refuse to recognize that this book could solve our problems. As I said, you may not be a Reagan fan, but what he said was right on target. For the Bible has the answers to your problem, to my problem, And the Bible has the problem, the answers to the problems facing America today. So as I said, I want to add two additional messages on this whole subject of freedom. Freedom. Does a woman have the right to choose? Does a young man or young lady have the right to choose whether they're male, female, or any of the various variations in between? What is true freedom? Well, I know we're going to get into some controversy, but we're not going to run from controversy. We're going to stand upon... Amen. We're going to stand upon the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. And I hope you're going to come and listen to what God has to say. And I'm still hoping and praying that GCA will not only listen, but they'll share what God is saying in these controversial subjects with their friends. The world has to hear what God has to say. And the world is only going to hear through us. But we are so scared to death that somebody would really know that you believe the Bible. May God give us the courage to share His word. This is the only message that will bring change to our troubled country. May God help us. Today I want to set the stage for what's coming. And I want to share with you four keys to finding true freedom. Four keys to finding true freedom. Here's the first key. If we're going to find true freedom, we must reject the world's definition of freedom. If you're going to find true freedom, you better reject the world's definition. I Googled the word freedom, and I'm going to put on the screen the first definition that popped up. The internet told me that the freedom is the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. Do you agree with that? I don't know how you would define freedom, but this is how freedom is defined. Even the Cambridge Dictionary defined it very similarly. The freedom, the power to do what I want to do without any hindrance or restraint. Some years ago, Cheryl and I, we were in Saigon, Vietnam, walking on a one-way street. And all of a sudden, a man decided he was going to drive in the wrong direction on the street. But it got worse. He not only decided that he had the freedom to drive in the wrong direction, he decided he had the freedom to drive on the side of the sidewalk we were walking on. Can you imagine that? You're walking on the sidewalk, and this man is coming on the sidewalk, heading in your direction. The only good thing is that everybody else wasn't making up their decision as to what they're going to do. Can you imagine if when we get to the corner, when we're leaving church today, and we get to the corner of Mount Pleasant and Stanton, every driver decided they had the freedom to decide whether to stop or go? We'd spend the whole day playing chicken at the corner. We might make it home. What am I really saying? This idea that freedom means I can do whatever I want to is what? Lunacy. It's lunacy. So in one minute, the world tries to give us the idea we can do whatever we want to without hindrance. But if people go crazy down on South Street and started shooting everybody, we realize that doesn't make any sense, because it does not make sense. Freedom cannot be the right to do whatever you want to do without hindrance. Listen, part of the reason why this is crazy, because, you see, if everybody had a desire to do the right thing, right? Being free to do what you wanted to do without a hindrance would not be as big a problem if we all wanted to do the right thing. But put this down. The problem is, we were all born slaves to sin and Satan. Therein lies the problem. If you got a bunch of folks who are born slaves to sin, and everybody is free to do what they want to do, what a problem. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse number 16. Here's what it says here in verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, You are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. We were all born slaves to sin. We were all born, listen, we were born bad to the bone. Am I right about that? Romans 3:23 states that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us, we were all born sinners. That beautiful little baby that was born, that baby was born a sinner. That sweet little cuddly thing, that wonderful little precious lamb, they didn't become a sinner after a while. They were born sinners. They were born slaves to sin. So let me ask you. If you planted an apple tree, I won't ask my daughter. She doesn't know too much about, she's like me. We don't know a thing about agriculture. So let me ask Carlton. Carlton, if we planted an apple tree, what would you expect it to bear? Apples. Okay, apples. You agree with him? Even Lauren and I will agree that it's apples. So let me ask you this. If you have a person who is born a slave to sin, what do you expect that person to do? What else can that person who is a slave to sin and Satan do but sin? Are you like me? I'm finding it very hard to watch the news. I'm finding it very hard to watch the news because we have told America, do what comes naturally. So far this year, we already have had 278 mass shootings in America. Mass shootings is when you shoot or kill four people at a time. 278 mass shootings in this country already. I don't think we have had 278 days. We probably only had 185 days or so. And in the 185 days, we have 278 shootings where we've shot four people or more. Now, of course, we say that the guns are the problem, and I'm sure that may be a part of the problem. But the main problem in America is not the guns. I'm not making a political statement, by the way. I am making a factual statement. The big problem in America, Senate, Congress, Mr. President, the big problem is not the guns. The big problem is that Satan has fooled us into believing we can do as we please without restraint. And the same country that's concerned about the guns is the same country that's pushing this idea that you can do whatever you want to do without restraint. But friends, you will never, I say, speak to the individual. You are never going to find true freedom unless you reject this world's idea that true freedom is the freedom to do whatever you want to do without restraint. It's a lie from hell. In John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said this, and I'm going to put it on the screen in the New Living Translation. It says in John 10:10, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. What a contrast. What do you want, young man? Young lady, which would you choose? Do you want a rich and satisfying life? Jesus said, I have come to give them a rich and satisfying life. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. And sadly, the thief is doing that. A few years ago, I did a funeral for a promising young lady who had gotten into drugs, and she had died alone after shooting up in an abandoned building here in Philadelphia. And listen, by the time they found her, her body had started decomposing. This wonderful young lady with such promise had died like a dog in an abandoned building. No young person ought to die like that. But over 100,000 Americans have died last year from drug overdoses. Over 100,000. The thief is busy. The thief is stealing our young people. He's stealing our older people because we have sold them this bag of goods. That freedom is the right to do whatever you want to do without any hindrance. That is not freedom. That is slavery to sin. May God deliver you. I'm praying for you, young man. I'm praying for you, young lady. I'm praying for all of you that by the grace of God today, that you might reject the world's definition of what freedom is. But thank God there is hope in Jesus. Oh, I'm not a preacher of bad news. Oh, you may say, Pastor, you're preaching it's a sad message. No. Before you get the good news, you got to get the bad news. And the bad news is that we are bad to the bone. But you want the good news? There is hope in Jesus. Because Jesus says, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. I have come to give you a meaningful life. And young person, older person this morning, you may be one of those on the road to doing your own thing this morning. God is offering you life, an everlasting life. He wants to give you a life that's rich and satisfying. So put this down in your notes, so because this is so important. Because we must not only reject the world's definition, we must obtain release from slavery. Amen. Put that down. We must obtain release from slavery to sin. Well, if you're a slave of sin, how in the world are you going to be free unless you get freedom from slavery? My foreparents were slaves. But thank God slavery was abolished and repealed. We got to get released from slavery. If we're going to enjoy freedom, we must get released. Romans chapter 6, 17 and 18 again. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered by the grace of God. They obeyed from the heart. Amen. They obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine to which they were delivered. They obeyed the word of God. And verse 18, and having been set free from sin, they became slaves of righteousness by the power of God. They were released from slavery to sin. I've come to find out, though, that some people, I've come to discover that some people don't mind wasting their lives in sin and slavery to Satan. Did you know that? Some people don't mind. I remember years ago we were having a young adult fellowship at the church, at our home, and there was some special program on TV, and we decided to tune in. The young adults wanted to tune in, and there they were, and they were all mocking the Bible, and they were saying, if sin means that I'm going to go to hell, so be it. They said, I don't really care if that's what a life of sin means, because they said, all the cool people are going to be in hell anyhow. He says, going to be a party every night in hell, because all the movie stars and all the big, it's going to be a party every night. I said to the young adults, yeah, that's true. The Bible does say there's going to be a lot of noise in hell. And I said, it's true, the Bible does say there's going to be a lot of light in hell. But I said, it's not a party, it's not strobe lights. The light is coming from the fire. And the noise is not coming from partying. The noise is coming from weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. My friend, God is giving us a choice. Am I speaking to somebody like that this morning? I really don't care. I'll just keep on going. May God challenge you to change.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.